Ameritech Property Management. How can I help you?
Yeah, I've got two dogs crapping on my lawn. One of them's as big as a house.
Ameritech Property Management.
Okay, so my house smells like something out of a horror movie. It's like something died.
You guys sent me a violation notice in the mail.
Everything.
It says my lawn is unsightly. What the hell does that mean?
If you guys think that you're going to take my house, you got another thing coming. You're going to put a lien on my house for $20?
That's right. Everything you ever wanted to know about condominium living or deed-restricted communities. Good afternoon and welcome to the Ameritech Connection radio talk show on the TAN Talk Radio Network. Do you live in a condo or deed-restricted community? Do you have issues concerning the do's and the don'ts in your community? Have you been getting into trouble with your community association or management company? Got questions but just can't get the answers? Well, we cover it all and much more right here and right now on the Ameritech Connection. Hi, I'm Mike Perez, the CEO of Ameritech Property Management and your host for the Ameritech Connection. And sitting right next to me is my co-host, the beautiful and talented Miss Sharon Van Winkle. Sharon is also the Director of Marketing for Ameritech Property Management and has over 10 years of experience dealing with these, at times, very difficult situations. So with that in mind and without further ado, here's Sharon.
Thanks, Mike. We have an exciting one-hour show for you here today, so please keep listening and call us with your questions because we have all the answers. The local number is 727-441-3000. That is 727-441-3000. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-866-826-1340. Again, that's 1-866-826-1340. Did you know that Ameritech Property Management manages over 25,000 homes in the Tampa Bay area? And that means we have a lot of experience dealing with a lot of different issues. We've been managing condominium and deed-restricted communities for over 20 years, and now we've decided to host our own radio talk show to discuss and educate you, our listeners, on the do's and the don'ts regarding community living. Oh yeah, not to mention the crazy and off-the-wall stories you're hear only on the Ameritech Connection radio talk show.
Good afternoon, folks. Today we have two very interesting guests, and we're going to talk all about audits, reviews, compilations, and tax returns. I mean, it's that time of year again. And can an association waive some of these legal requirements, and what's the cost? Now, you might think that this kind of stuff is boring, but it really isn't. We have some really good, juicy stuff here for you today. For example, do you suspect your board of directors or management company stealing from your association? What about embezzlement? What about kickbacks, bribes, or any other misappropriation association of funds? Well, we have the guy that's going to answer all of these questions right here and right now on the Ameritech Connection. Isn't that right, Sharon?
That's right, Mike. And we really like our guests today. They've been on the show in the past, and that would be Eddie Page and his wife, Mary, of Page & Company. We appreciate you coming back here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, and you specialize in condominium and homeowners tax returns, but pretty much you do it all. Reviews, compilations, audits, the whole gamut, right?
Right, yeah. My name's Eddie Page, CPA. We're a CPA firm in Safety Harbor, Florida. And we do, our niche market is condominium homeowners associations. We do almost 600 tax returns for condos, homeowners associations. We do cooperatives also. And we also do financial statements.
Well, that's why we really appreciate you guys coming, because I mean, I don't know how you dragged them away, Mary. I mean, this is your, this is the absolute busy season for CPAs.
It was
CPAs,
a dinner
right?
afterwards, right?
No, you know, it gets them talking. You know, gets it out of the system.
Oh, okay.
Because right. he loves to talk about tax returns, right?
Nonstop.
Well, it's good to get out of the office too.
Well,
no, it's good.
Yeah, I agree. So, Eddie, why don't you talk to us about the year-end financial statement requirements and, you know, what are the statutory requirements on that?
Sure. Under the Florida statutes, if you're a condominium or homeowners association, if your gross revenue, total revenue from all sources is greater than a certain amount, it's $150,000, then they say you're required to have CPA prepare your financial statements.
Okay.
And, you know, it can be a compilation, a review, or an audit. And the reason they do that is because once the income gets above a certain amount, they want a third party to come in. You know,
right.
Compilation is from $150,000 to $300,000. Review, a little bit more detail, $300,000 to $500,000. And if it's over $500,000, The Florida statutes require an audit.
And what is an audit, Eddie? I mean, I know you do quite a bit of them, but what is an audit?
An audit is where we actually go in and we verify cash. We send out notices to banks asking to verify cash end of the year. We look at the bank reconciliations. We compare actual to budget. We'll send letters to attorneys saying, hey, is there any issue out there that we need to be aware of that needs to be addressed in the financial statements? If someone slipped and fell by the pool and there's a lawsuit, we'll mention that in the financials in the notes.
So it's a complete thorough review, right?
Right. So in all three, compilation, review, and audit, it's a basic set of financial statements, which is the balance sheet, income statement, the cash flow, the notes to the financials, and then the supplemental, which is the reserve analysis.
Mm-hmm.
So for every association, that's what we prepare.
Okay. So tell us what a forensic audit is.
Well, forensic audit, every audit is a forensic audit. Because basically what you do is you're tracing financial transactions back to its source, whether it be an invoice, it could be a check, canceled check, something like that. Usually now when they talk about forensic audit, it's more specialized. For insurance purposes, for like divorce proceedings to verify financial information. Like with insurance, if there's been a fire, they want to some kind of verification of assets, financial assets, bankruptcy, they'll do a forensic audit to verify that this person doesn't have any hidden assets, something like that.
Right.
Sometimes you'll see it with financial statements. If someone suspects a company of having a fraud.
That's what I was going to ask you. Yeah, if they suspect that someone stole some money, for instance, I mean, would that fall under that?
Right, then you can have a forensic audit.
Okay.
And depending on how complicated it is mm-hmm. depending on how big the forensic audit.
So some of the other legal requirements, other than the requirements of Florida statutes to have an audit, I mean, a lot of these people have the audits because they can't get it waived, right? They can't meet the waiver requirements, and they have it. But other than that, why would somebody want an audit? You know, I mean, obviously for theft, but what else would they want an audit for?
Well, so oftentimes we see it when there's a change in management company, when there's, you know, because there's a transfer of cash from the old management company to the new management company. They want to make sure all the cash transfers. And a lot of times when a board hires a new management company, they have concerns about the old management company. It always happens. They're worried about perhaps maybe double billing. They want someone to look over the financials to make sure that, you know, maybe the prior management company wasn't doing something or paying someone that shouldn't have been. Or
For an example, on the balance sheet, you know, if the balance sheet says they have, you know, 10 different investment accounts, mm-hmm. you're going to track that to make sure all the cash is there, so to speak.
Right. And we do that in audit.
Right.
You know, we're always going to track all the cash.
So if you do suspect fraud, then, you know, from either a board member or maybe even the management company, what happens then?
Well, it goes to the proper, authority or level of management. So if it's a management company, we go to the board. If it's the board, then we may go to the management company and say, hey, we need to call. You know, and it all depends on the magnitude of the fraud.
Hundred grand is missing.
Yeah.
Let's just say. I mean, we've had some. I've been in the property management business for 30 years, as you well know, and we've had some really funky things happen.
Yeah.
Where
it's,
you know,
there's a lot.
Board members get on for a particular reason. I mean,
right.
We had that one situation. I won't mention any names where we turned the president in for stealing, and the state attorney prosecuted, and she got, I don't know, 5 years?
Yeah, wow.
You know, so, and you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Because you were involved in that audit.
Yeah.
But what happens? I mean,
well, for instance, you know, I'm talking to an association now that suspects that their current manager might be stealing, and they're like, do we call the police? I mean, do we call the police now, or what do we do?
So, well, I would hire someone maybe
to do this.
Right, have
a
CPA do a forensic and say, hey, here are the invoices, here are the transactions we're concerned about. Easiest thing is look at the bank statement, see what's coming in, see what's going out, and see if there's, by looking at the bank statement, the check's written, see if, you know, try to pinpoint.
But let's say it's as plain as God made little green apples, right?
Yeah.
All right. And you like that, huh?
Yeah.
And, that was cute.
And you got the facts right here in front of you. And it's
staring you in the face. And you know that, I hope there's not a Joe Schmo out there, but you know that Joe Schmo took $100,000.
Yeah.
What do? You call the sheriff's department, you call the association's attorney. I mean, you know, and Joe Schmo is the president of the association, for an example.
Well, then we as CPA would contact them. And generally, since during the audit we're working with the management company, we're asking for invoices, we're going to say, hey, this invoice looks funny. And I mean, it's not going to be a surprise. Usually, generally, it's not a surprise to anyone.
Well, it's funny because
suspect it. And
it's funny because that situation that I was telling you earlier where the president stole money, we decided, and we had that concrete evidence that said, you know, she stole the money. So when we presented it to her, in the presence of her attorney.
Oh, wow.
And in a conference room at the attorney's office. And her response was, well, she was taking it because she was giving it to poor folks that couldn't afford. I mean, I kid you not.
Wow.
That I couldn't afford.
So I'm sure they let her off the hook for that reason, right?
Yeah.
Taking from the rich, giving to the poor.
Yes, she was.
You know?
That's right.
Well, she probably considered herself poor.
Well,
that's who she was giving it to.
Well, she was giving it to herself, too, of course. You know, I was in that category, but, you know.
Yeah.
And who's that guy that steals from the rich and gives to the poor? Was it
Robin Hood?
Yeah. So she thought she was a female version of Robin Hood, right?
Absolutely.
So what are some of the crazy stuff that you found by doing an audit? I mean, I know you guys have been in the business for years, right,
yes.
Mary?
Almost 20 years, right?
Yeah, 24 years, if I'm not mistaken.
No. Doing taxes.
Doing taxes, okay.
But 20 years specifically in this business, in the condominium owners.
So you guys must have found some really funky stuff out there, you know?
Oh, yeah.
What? Give us some funny stuff.
Yeah, we want to hear some funny stories.
We want to hear some juicy stories.
Juicy stories. That's what we advertised
earlier. And you knew about this one where if you use a small management company, that's one of the advantages of Ameritech being so large is that you have different people looking at each transaction.
Right.
The
checks and balances.
Right. The segregation of duty where you have several people looking at it. This was a small management company where one person had control over the cash, $600,000 gone out of reserves.
Yeah, you were on that. We took that property over at that time.
And what he was doing was he was scanning in the bank statements into Adobe, altering them, and then giving that to the board member. So the board member's looking at altered financial bank statements, thinking all the money's, it's in the bank. There it is.
It's
There's
true.
The bank statement.
I mean, you literally got to think like a crook in order to prevent this from happening.
Exactly.
So, you know, based on that, you know, and that was, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago, if I'm not mistaken, you know, we now take, because, you know, we're, as you know, above board and with over 100 employees, we're not going
to screw. We're very transparent. You
right.
have to be.
But what we do on that regard, I don't know if you knew this, but we implemented a policy whereas, because all board members are signatures on the bank account as well. Mm-hmm. But what we did is we have the bank send out dual bank statements.
There you go.
So not only do we get the bank statement and we include it in the financial statement.
So does the board.
But the board gets it, and this comes directly from the bank.
That's
so
good.
This way,
so you can't alter them.
They
That's
can
good.
Compare the bank statements. Yeah. They can't alter it. It's completely transparent.
Exactly.
And it's above board.
Well, what happens if a management company tells their board that they are not allowed to be signers on the account, so they don't get that information?
Well, if a management company says that their boards are not allowed to be signers on the account, I think that potentially is a problem.
Right,
It's their money. Yeah. They should be signers on the account. They should be able to go down and pull a bank statement, pull a general ledger. I mean, be able to look and review at their cash. I mean, even though we as the management company are custodians of that cash and we're taking care of it, and you guys as independent CPAs come in and do the reviews, the audits, or the compilations, and then we report to the board, it's their money.
Yeah. So, it's not unusual for associations, boards that, hey, you the management company, all these little transactions, if it's under a certain amount, we don't need to come into the office.
And we do that all the time, especially standard utility bills. Yeah. I mean, a lot of this stuff is put on auto pay anyways.
Yes.
You know, but the large funds, we always want two signatures because, frankly, we want to be off the hook.
Absolutely.
You know?
Right.
Well, we've talked about audits. What about reviews? Can you talk about that for a minute?
A review is less than an audit. So an audit we actually trace transactions to their source. A review is more an analytical procedure. So we'll compare actual to budget. You know, if something's out of whack, when we compare actual to budget, then we'll dig deeper. You know, we compare current year to prior year, and we'll look to see, you know, why are there differences. So there shouldn't be much differences between actual and budget, though you'll see it like building maintenance. You know, it seems to, you know, that's the most common over where you go over budget.
Right, right.
Building maintenance, it's everybody. You got repairs that go over
budget. So are the reviews done annually or?
And under the Florida statutes, you know, if you're between $300,000 and $500,000 in revenue, you're required to have a review. So the statute's saying, hey, you know, if your revenue's between $300,000 and $500,000, it's not material enough, it's not significant enough to have an audit, but it's significant enough to have more than a compilation, which really doesn't look at, we don't trace everything.
But you're right when it comes to repair and maintenance items. I mean, it's almost impossible to kind of project what's going to break down for the particular year. So that's where a lot of times we're definitely over budget on that. Now, let's say you're looking at a review and there's some funky things that look out of whack. Do you ever go back to a board and say, you know, I really think you need an audit? You know, the review, because the review is not an audit, right?
Right, right.
I mean, do you ever get to that point?
It's rare just because of the amount of income, $300,000 to $500,000. I mean, generally, if something's out of whack, it's because of a certain invoice. And all you have to do is just track that invoice. So if building maintenance is over budget, say, by $10,000, we're going to dig into the general ledger and find out why. You know, if it's one check or one invoice, we may say, hey, we want a copy of that invoice just because it's out of whack. And if they can't provide it, then we need to let the board know, hey,
right. I get it.
You know, this was out of budget. We don't have this invoice, you know, and generally it's just that particular item that needs to be traced.
Right.
You know, you don't have to do a full audit where you're checking everything, you know, you're checking a lot of invoices. You know, generally with a review, you don't have as many transactions. So it's fewer transactions, so you can pinpoint which one needs to be traced. So you just trace that invoice.
So. All right, so we've talked about the audits, the reviews, so kind of go into detail about the compilations.
And a compilation is the basic financial statements. We, you know, we don't do an audit, we don't do a review. We put together, and what we do with all three, we take the management company's financials and we put it in a CPA prepared financial statement format. So not only do we have the balance sheet, income statement, and cash flow, we've got the notes. And the notes say, oh, you're a condominium, homeowners association. And then we talk about reserves. So we'll have a note there that shows your reserves. We'll show the beginning balance, the budget, the funding of it, the expenditures, and the ending. So you get a lot of information there, even with a compilation that tells you, you know, what's going on with your association.
Right. Now, if they drop below 150,000, because, you know, you got the 150 to, and correct me if I'm wrong, 150 to
300
is a compilation.
Right.
300 to 500 is a review.
Right.
And anything over $500,000, it's required to have an audit unless it's waived by the membership.
Right. And now with the new law, the HB 6027 that was passed that took effect July 1st, 2017, condominiums also can waive indefinitely.
Right.
There used to be a 50 unit, it used to be a criteria of 50 units and gross income test.
Right, right.
They
did
away with the number of units, so which is good. You don't need the number of units. It's based on gross.
But it also had a 3-year mandatory audit review or compilation requirement.
Right.
You could only waive it up to the third year.
You could waive it 3 years in a row.
Right.
And then the fourth year, you had to have whatever requirement your gross revenue met that year. Now you can waive it indefinitely.
So it's perpetual now.
Just like homeowners.
Yep.
Homeowners, condominiums, they can waive it indefinitely.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes
sense. Have to do it by the end of the year.
Right.
Yeah, one more question before we take a caller. What are some of the costs to engage a CPA for these types of reports? It sounds expensive, so, you know, our listeners want to know.
No, but for you guys, it's the best.
Not for you guys,
for the least, right?
Right.
It's the best.
The most
for the least.
The most for the least.
Sorry. Right.
And we feel like we have pretty good price because this is our niche market. We do this all the time. We've got the spreadsheet. We've got everything set up. So a compilation, that's the lowest one there. That's maybe $550, maybe $800. A review, $1,500 to $2,200. And an audit is going to start about $4,500. There may be some cases where it's less than that. It all depends on if you have bank loans that we have to track. And it all depends on special assessments that we have to track.
The more complexity, the little bit more cost
that
might be involved.
Oh, okay. Exactly. All right. Well, that's good to know. All right, Tommy, I think we have a caller on the line.
Yep, Sharon. Melissa will be first today.
Hi, Melissa. This is the Ameritech Connection. Do you have a question for Eddie?
Yes, hi, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
Good. So I think that my board is stealing, but I can't prove it. And I just wanted to know if I do find out they're stealing, do I inform all the homeowners?
Well, first thing I'll do is you know, look at the financials, see if what you can document, then maybe take it to the board at a meeting and say, hey, there's discrepancies here, and at the meeting you can let everyone know, either, you know, at the meeting or maybe through a letter, that hey, I have some concerns here. See if the board addresses it that way.
Be careful of accusing somebody of stealing worse. First, without having the actual positive proof, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean,
now if they refuse to have a vote, and see, this is why the homeowners have the power. If you don't vote, then you're required to have the compilation review and audit. It's automatic. You have to have it if there's no vote. If you specifically have the vote to waive it, then the owners have said, hey, you know, we don't want to incur that cost.
Now, I got a question for you. Well, she's on the line. If a homeowners association or condo association, regardless of which, decides that they want the membership to waive the audit requirements, and they do get the membership to waive the audit requirements, can that board rescind that at their desire and decide, hey, I want an audit anyways? I mean, let's say the membership waives it, but the board says, no, we want an audit. We think there's some suspicious activity going on, and we just want to find out what's going on. Do they have the authority to do that?
That's probably more a legal question, but I think they do. I think because the board's in charge. The board can do a greater than job, but they can't do less.
Requirement, right. Reporting requirement.
Right, right.
You know, they could be required to do a compilation, but they can say, hey, board, and as long as the board votes on it, we want an audit.
All right.
And
also the members can vote. If they're only required to have a compilation, the members can vote and say, hey, we want an audit.
Right.
So they can vote for a greater, even though they're not required to, but they can vote. The membership has that power to vote for a greater engagement than necessary.
So okay. I guess the answer to your question would be that, you know, you should get the membership together, attend a board meeting, and demand that an audit take place so that you can validate whether or not the board is actually stealing or not. I mean, does that make sense, Eddie?
Right, yeah. Or at least ask them to provide backup documentation.
If we think you're stealing, are you allowed to say that?
I don't know that I would accuse somebody of stealing without having some positive proof. I mean, even if they were arrested for it, for crying out loud. I mean, in this country, we're innocent until proven guilty. And once they're convicted, then you can call them a thief, right?
Right.
I think a lot of times the boards just need to communicate better with the homeowners. And sometimes when they don't communicate well and it's kind of a secretive thing, then homeowners naturally think that there is something that's not above board. So, you know, like Mike just said, attend your board meeting and I wouldn't use those words either, but, you know.
And, of course, you're welcome to go in and look at all the details.
Right.
You have the right to look at the invoices and everything.
Right.
Okay.
All
great.
Right, Melissa, thank you so much for calling.
Folks, we're going to take a real quick commercial break. Keep listening. We'll be right back in 2 minutes. Thank you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Don't stress it. Call Innovative Roofing. We handle all projects from minor repairs to re-roofing, as well as new installations. We pride ourselves for both quality and reliability, working hard to build lasting relationships with our clients. Innovative Roofing, building a reputation for being a company who makes a difference. Give us a call today, 813-909-0400. Again, that number is 813-909-0400.
Do you serve on the board of a condominium association? Or how about a homeowners association? Here's a well-known fact. Page & Company are probably the best accounting firm for community associations. With over 18 years of experience specializing in audits, reviews, compilations, and tax returns, you must get a quote from Page & Company for your association's financial reporting requirements. So give Page & Company Certified Public Accountants a call at 727-726-2785. Get the personal service you deserve.
Meritech Community Management is a local management company servicing the Tampa Bay area for over 20 years. We are proud of our company and continue to provide professional and courteous service to our clients. After 20 years, we still manage our very first community association. If you are in need of a top-notch community management team for your property, give us a call today, 727-726-8000. That's 727-726-8000. Or visit our website at ameritechcompanies.com.
When you need legal help, you want a lawyer you can trust, someone with experience, knowledge, wisdom, and compassion. At Pilk & Associates, we pride ourselves in providing you with the personal attention and consideration your legal issues deserve. We can help plan long-term goals for your family or your business and handle unexpected legal issues that arise suddenly. We're a full-service law firm with nearly three decades of legal experience. We are dedicated to serving your legal needs. Please call for a free consultation
at 813-759-3285 or feel free to email us at law@pilka.com. We look forward to serving your legal needs.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Welcome back, folks, to the Ameritech Connection. And for those of you just tuning in, our guest today is Mr. Eddie Page, CPA, and his lovely wife, Mary.
Mary. Yay.
And it's all about...
Say hi, Mary.
Welcome back. Hi.
And it's all about tax returns and, you know...
Her favorite subject,
that's
right.
It's that time of year, right?
Well, I couldn't do it without Mary. She does all the engagement letters. She logs everything in, makes sure everything
she
is copied.
She keeps
you straight.
What are you talking about?
She keeps you straight, right?
She's your better half.
I know.
Really?
I couldn't do it without her.
I like that.
Plus, she has to put up with me, so that's the toughest part.
Yeah, I imagine.
Now, let me ask you this, Eddie, real quick. I mean, I know we talked about reviews, compilations, and audits, and anything, and I don't think we just got to this question, but below a compilation... is a cash disbursement and expenditure report?
Well, yeah, call it a cash receipt and disbursement report. And what it is under Florida statutes, they say, well, if you don't meet that criteria, then you have to provide, you know, everyone a cash receipts and disbursement. So it's basically an income statement on the cash basis. So I think the way Ameritech does it, if you look at your income statement, it's on the cash basis.
It is. It's done on a cash. So when we do it, we just print out a balance sheet and an operating statement, frankly, which has the budget comparisons and everything else. And if anybody requests that information, well, we send out the postcards.
Yeah.
Which is a statutory requirement saying that it's available, as opposed to having, you know, if we got 1,200 units, we don't want to have 1,200 balance sheets and operating statements floating out there, you know, in case we got some wrong addresses. You know, we'd rather do the postcards, and then they put a request in for us requesting that information, and we then send them out actually the balance sheet and the operating statement.
Now, what also is becoming common now is having management companies are having us as CPA do the cash receipt disbursement reports. And we're all set up for that. And the reason why is because, you know, on the fund accounting, you've got the operating side, but you also got the reserve side. So under the Florida statute, you also have to show the cash and the reserve
side.
Right, and some software, it doesn't show on the income statement. You have to print a separate worksheet or separate printout to show that.
Now, what do you charge for that statement? I mean, if you had... one association, we gave you the information, you're just going to put that basic and really that's a statutory report requirement.
Right. And we do it based on the statutory report. We have a little opinion letter saying it meets the Florida statutes, and then we provide the income statement on a cash basis, and it'll be two columns, one showing the operating account fund and the other showing the reserve activity. And the reserve activity, of course, is your capital expenditures. It'll show money coming in per budget, and if you had any expenses that year, it'll show it. Probably the bank account earned some interest income. So on the income, the cash, you'll see the interest income, and then at the bottom you see the beginning cash balance. You know, it'll show. So you got the cash flow. So you got the difference in cash flow, and then
right.
your beginning cash and ending cash.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Tell me, are community associations required to pay sales taxes on anything that's purchased?
They can. So if sometimes they'll rent out the clubhouse.
Right.
Technically, that's subject to sales
that.
Tax.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I always suggest is when they're renting out the clubhouse. General charge is $125. I see that a lot for renting out the clubhouse for if an owner wants to have a party and stuff. What I recommend is don't call it rental. You're not renting it. It's really a cleaning fee. because immediately what you do after is have someone come in and clean.
So what but what about if they're having some kind of event where they're selling items, you know, and they get the homeowners to donate things from their home that they no longer want, and they sell them?
It all depends on who collects the money. I mean, if the association collects the money, then it may be subject to sales tax. And I always recommend.
Okay. But he's right. You got to be careful.
It's better to collect it or at least pay it than take the chance.
So, I agree.
Yeah, it's always better to err on the side of caution.
And frankly, $125 to lease a clubhouse, which is a typical fee, is an extremely low fee, but it's a benefit for the homeowers that live in the community. Because
For sales tax purposes, I would call it a cleaning fee.
Absolutely, because that's what it's going to cost to clean
that
it up.
That makes sense. Yeah. I've never heard that before.
What about do we have to pay sales tax on income that's rental income that's received? You know, we've got a lot of foreclosed units, for an example, that are association-owned, and we lease these units out, and we've got rental income coming in. I mean, what about that type of income?
That potentially could be subject to sales tax. What the Florida statutes say is, you know, if it's 6 months or less, you're required to collect sales tax. So if it's a weekly rental, monthly rentals, you know, snowbirds come down for 4 months and rent it, technically it's subject to sales tax. So generally, a lot of the leasing agreements state is usually for seven months. So it has to be 6 months in a day, so 7 months or more, then you're not required to collect sales tax.
Right.
So your washer and dryer, your laundry room, then you would collect sales tax on the money that you made that, except for the maybe offsetting it for the repairs.
Well,
right?
Yeah, that's what he does. I mean, you do kind of something kind of unique when it comes to that income, right?
Well, for income tax purposes.
He's a creative CPA, too.
We like those. So.
Well, for laundry income, you know, laundry income technically to the IRS, that's subject to income tax because it's income.
Right.
But by the time you allocate water, electricity, insurance, repairs, you're really not making money.
Which is legitimate.
It's not a profit. Right. Association isn't making money off the
laundry. Well, you know, I've dealt with some CPAs that have said, oh, you got all this laundry income and you got to pay sales tax on it, or you got to pay tax on it, and you know, because it's income. And, you know, and this was years and years ago, and I scratched my head and say, but wait a minute. And then you came up, I don't know, 20 years ago, because we've been together for a long time.
Yeah, I remember you asking, but years ago.
Yeah, I said, we got to do something with this laundry income, because, you know, they got all these repairs, and then we started talking about it, and I'm saying, you know, why didn't these other CPAs come up with this, you know?
Yeah. So I'd like to ask you, what's the difference between cash accounting and accrual?
Well, what cash accounting is, it's basically you recognize the income and expense as it goes out of the bank account. So our cash receipts and disbursement reports, when you see that, that's the actual cash. The cash is gone. Accrual is we recognize expenses when it was incurred, not when it was paid. So, for instance,
insurance, right?
Right. So insurance. Right. Maybe 1 year you pay it in January, and then that same year you pay it in December. Mm-hmm. So on a cash basis, you'll see two insurance payments, and then the next year you won't see any because it was prepaid.
Exactly.
Under the accrual, we recognize that expense when it was incurred. So it was, if you pay it in December, you've actually prepaid it. So it does. We don't report it on the income statement. We record it on the balance sheet as prepaid insurance. So that way, when you look at the income statement, you don't see two payments 1 year and none the next. And one reason for accrual is for comparison purposes. You know, you want to be able to, you don't want to see, when you compare income statements, you don't want to see 0 1 year and 200,000 the next year.
That's confusing.
Right. So accrual, that's the whole reason for accrual.
Is there one preferred over the other?
Accrual is really the language of financial statements for CPAs. And it's for comparability. So if we put one income statement next to another on the accrual basis, we can compare it.
But cash is really the financial language for people like myself that aren't CPAs. So
right, and that's why the
and
statutes.
A lot of our boards prefer that as well.
The statutes say cash accounting is more preferred when it comes to condominium and homeowners associations.
Right, under 150,000. And then you know what? Monthly statements that a board gets. I think if as a CPA, if I was on a board, I'd probably want it on the cash basis also, because you want to see that the insurance was paid. And the way you see it is, it's 000, and then you see the...
Well, what we do in situations, we have cash modified. I mean, we certainly accrue prepaid and delinquencies. we accrue like some large payments, because like you said, if you got, you know, a budget for 12 months of, you know, $1,000 a month for insurance, and then June you see a big expense for 12 grand, it throws the whole budget off whack.
Yeah.
So we typically will accrue that as well, and we'll put that on the balance sheet and show some of that. This way it doesn't whack the income statement or right. the budget report that right. much out of whack. Yeah. Tommy, I think we got somebody on hold, right?
Yes, sir. Susanna.
Susanna, welcome to the Ameritech Connection. You're on the air live. What's your question?
Hi. My question is, I heard that if my association collects too much money, that they're required by law to give it back. Is that true?
Not necessarily. Well, what they're talking about is you know, for IRS purposes, there's two ways to file. You can file under Section 277 as a regular corporation or Section 528 as a homeowners association. 95% of the tax returns I do are under 528. As a homeowners association, any income from assessments, less expenses, isn't subject to tax. It's exempt. So no matter, you could have $100,000 net income, it's not subject to tax. What is subject to tax would be, say, the interest income, you know, the laundry income, and then we offset it with expenses. We can allocate that. What they're probably talking about is there's some associations where we file under Section 277 as a regular corporation because they don't meet the statutes, the IRS statutes as a homeowners association. And you'll see this is in the big ones. They're like country clubs. They've got golf courses, pro shop, restaurants, bars inside. Some of a lot of the big ones like that, they can't file as 1128. So we file as under Section 277 as a regular corporation. And the IRS has said there's a revenue ruling, 70-604, that said, hey, you know, if you meet the criteria here, you're a homeowner association, you're like this country club, and you've got a net income, technically that's taxable, but if the membership votes to roll it over, they can. So they're saying, hey, we, you know, IRS is saying, hey, we understand, maybe you don't meet the budget this year, you didn't have much expenses, we're giving you the next year to correct it. So we're allowing you to roll over. You can vote to roll it over. Now, the revenue ruling 70-604 gives you two options. You roll it over or you pay it back to the homeowners.
Right.
Except under state of Florida, you can't pay it back to the homeowners because you're a not-for-profit. Not-for-profit under the Florida statutes means it has to stay in the corporation. It has to be used within the corporation. So that's the difference. In other states, I think like Arizona, where this IRS revenue ruling came out of, they can. They are allowed to return it to the homeowners.
So in essence, though, in Florida, what we do, and hopefully this will answer your question, Susanna, if the board has a large surplus, mm-hmm. and let's say they're fully funded with every aspect mm-hmm. of it and everything that we talked about in the perfect scenario, they got this extra 100 grand, how they give it back to you is they give it back to you, and correct me if I'm wrong, in a reduction of the next year's maintenance fees.
Exactly.
So that's, I mean,
everyone wants to hear that.
Right.
Yeah.
And by the way, you know, not to plug Ameritech, but we've done it many times.
No, we want to plug Ameritech. Oh, yes, true. We have.
It's our radio show, so we could
plug. Yeah, we can do that. It's okay.
But anyway, Susanna, I hope that answers your question.
It did. Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
That was good. All right. This is kind of interesting. We've had a situation in the past where a board member actually paid the association's insurance policy on her own private credit card. And then the association, of course, you know, reimburses her. Well, typically you do this when you're going to get points on your card and rewards and that sort of thing.
Lots of points. Yes, okay.
So that's an obvious benefit to that person.
And I understand this is a $100,000 premium.
Holy cow. Oh, no, this is wow. on the water. So is this wow. legal? Is this wrong?
Yeah, that's something I would talk to the attorney about because she's profiting. She's benefiting. And technically under the Florida statutes, as a board member, you can't be compensated. And that might fall under compensation under the Florida statute. So she better be – I'd be very careful with that. I mean, I would get something from the attorney in writing that's okay because mm-hmm. otherwise I – my guess that's probably a violation. That sounds like a violation. She's benefiting, you know, from –
right.
From her job being her job.
Okay. Right. All right. Great. All right. So, Tommy, I think we have another caller on the line.
Yep. Debbie is next.
Hi, Debbie. You've reached the Ameritech Connection. Do you have a question for us?
Hi. I'm an owner in the condo association where I live, and our association is refusing to give me a copy of their audit. Can they do that?
No, they can't. I mean, if you request it, I think it has to be in writing on the Florida statutes. Has to be in writing. What I would do is contact the management company. Hopefully they have a management company, and you just contact them, and they'll tell you the requirement. Usually it's in writing, and then once you submit it to them in writing, they have a certain number of days to they have to provide it. So if you have a management company, that's good because you've got that separation of duties. You don't have, you know, if a board member says you can't have it, well, the management company, they know the Florida statutes. They know the requirements. They'll know, hey, put it in writing, and they'll provide it to you.
Send it certified, yeah. too. I think that's what one of the requirements
are. Yeah, that's good. All right, Debbie, I hope we've answered your question.
Sure did. Thanks.
Thanks so much for calling in. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Please keep listening. We're going to be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Meritech Community Management is a local management company servicing the Tampa Bay area for over 20 years. We are proud of our company and continue to provide professional and courteous service to our clients. After 20 years, we still manage our very first community association. If you are in need of a top-notch community management team for your property, give us a call today, 727-726-8000. That's 727-726-8000. Or visit our website at ameritechcompanies.com.
At Corliss Barfield, we spent decades representing some of the most powerful insurance companies in America. Now, we only represent individuals with troubled insurance claims or whose families have suffered as a result of personal injury. Battling insurance companies is our business. Look for our faces in front of juries all across America, not on cheesy billboards. Corliss Barfield Trial Group, where battling insurance companies is our business and business is good. Give us a call today.
877-517-5595 or visit us on the web at corlissbarfield.com. Whether it's an act of nature or a burst pipe, a large loss can cause significant damage followed by an overwhelming process. Trinicon has the experience and expertise to provide a stress-free approach to restoring your community back to its pre-existing condition, allowing you to focus on other priorities. Our goal is to return you to the comfort of your home as quickly as possible while maintaining the highest standards of excellence. Trinicon is a licensed contractor, roofing contractor, and mold remediator. Call 1-888-521-5667. 1-888-521-5667 or visit us at TriniconLLC.com.
McDonald Pest Control is more than just another pest control company. We focus on providing outstanding service and quality products at a fair price. We feel you shouldn't pay for services you don't need, and we do not believe in over-treating or using excessive products. We evaluate each location and create an individual program that's designed to treat the needs of your home or business. McDonald Pest Control has the expertise to meet all of your commercial and residential needs, and we can get the job done right the first time. Set up an appointment today. Call us at 727-734-0963, or you can email us at mpcmanage@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Ameritech Connection. And for those of you just tuning in, our guest today is Mr. Eddie Page, CPA. And it's tax season, and that's what And that's all about personal and corporate tax returns. All right, we have a question here. Is there a requirement to reconcile the bank statements for each month, and should the board members be signing on the association bank accounts if it's managed by a management company?
Well, yeah, I mean, right. You have to reconcile the bank statements. That's the only way you know how much cash you have in the bank. You may have checks outstanding, you know, so you really need to reconcile each month. That should be standard operating procedure.
Well, the other thing, too, if I may just point out, if you don't reconcile a bank statement beyond 30 days and the bank makes a mistake, they will not reimburse you for their mistake.
Right.
So reconciliation is really, really important.
I mean,
you really need
point.
To do that.
So how should a balance sheet be set up?
Well, what a balance sheet is you've got the assets at the top, and it balances. You've got assets at the top, and then equals liabilities plus your fund equity. And you've got two funds, operating fund, reserve fund. Reserve fund is your capital cash, so you should have a reserve bank account. So when you're setting it up, you should have operating bank accounts, and you need to have reserve bank accounts.
Right.
And the reserve bank account, the amount of cash, should reconcile with your reserve equity.
Okay. All right. Should that should the reserves be placed in the liability column?
Well, generally, it's really an equity. I mean, I think the way your software works, it calls it liability. But I think most people understand it's an equity. You've set aside money. It's money you set aside for a rainy day, for capital expenditures.
Mm-hmm. So for an example, when you're actually writing the check, the way the accounting systems work, mm-hmm. for in effect all condominium and mm-hmm. homeowner association accounting systems, is you write the check out of the operating account. It gets expensed on the balance sheet for the reserves. Now, we're talking about the reserves.
Right.
And then when you deposit it back into the reserve account, which would be the money market account, it then gets allocated to the liability columns on the balance sheet. Theoretically, you've written the check, but just you've spent the money, but you just haven't written the check for the contractor. Does that make sense?
Right. So a lot of there's two ways to do it. One is if your reserve account allows checks to be written, it comes out of the bank account, and then it comes out of the equity part. So it's for accounting purposes, it's a credit on the asset side. It's a debit on the equity side. It reduces the reserve by the amount of the expense.
Right.
Now, what some do, and this is fine, their reserves are invested in CDs, so they don't have they might not have an account with $100,000. To write a check. They don't want to cash in their CD because it's going to incur penalties. So they'll pay it out of the operating account. And then when that CD matures, then they'll write the check from the reserve account to the operating account to reimburse it.
Oh, yeah, okay. That makes sense. So can an association take a depreciation?
Sure, they can. Sure. If you have, it all depends on if you're homeowners association, condominium, cooperatives. Cooperatives, you would 100% of the time. Condominiums, because of the way they're set up, it's your joint. Everybody owns the common property jointly, technically, that's how the tenancy in common, mm-hmm. I think they mm-hmm. they call it. So mm-hmm. so when all the owners own it, the association, which is a separate company, doesn't own it. So the common property is not going to be on the balance sheet. But if they buy a significant amount of pool chairs or something like that, you know, they have significant personal property. If they have sometimes they have a lobby with furniture and TVs, or they have a clubhouse with a bunch of stuff, then we would capitalize that. Then that can be expensed.
Right. Here's a question I know that gets asked a lot. What's the difference between a nonprofit organization or a not-for-profit organization? I know we all know what the for-profit organization is. I mean, Ameritech, for example, is a for-profit organization.
Yeah, hopefully.
Right.
Hopefully is right.
Just like your corporation, yes. Eddie Page CPA, and of course
we
Mary,
try. Yeah.
Yeah, is for-profit, right?
Right.
But not-for-profit versus nonprofit.
Yeah, we get this question asked a lot also. But they say, hey, we're a not-for-profit. Why are we paying income taxes? Sometimes, like for instance, some associations have cell phone antennas on top of their buildings, and they'll get $18,000, $19,000. Some will have two. They'll get $30,000. Well, there's just not enough expenses to write off against that, so they have to pay a little bit in taxes. And they'll say, hey, we're a not-for-profit. Well, that's the Florida statute designation. Not-for-profit means you can't return the profit back to the owners, you know, by writing checks. Like a regular corporation, you pay a dividend. Hey, all the shareholders,
right.
Depending on the number of shares you get, you know, we're going to pay a dividend because we had a profit. The Florida statute say you're not-for-profit. You can't do that. You have to keep it in the corporation, which is the whole idea is to keep the upkeep of the condominium. Non-profit, this is what confuses everybody. That's an IRS designation. That's, you know, the United Way, you know, the Red Cross.
Your local church.
Right, you know, right. When you put right. give them money, their income, if they follow their designated charitable contribution, charity organization, then their income's not taxable. So the difference is a state of Florida designation versus nonprofit, which is a charity. And no condominium, you know, condominium homeowner association, you're not a charity. You're not a 501c3, so you're not a nonprofit.
Right.
Not-for-profit's a Florida designation.
Controls.
So the association can't write separate checks to all the owners to return a surplus or a profit.
Okay.
Right.
All right. Almost running out of time. I want to ask one last question here. What controllable do you recommend that a community association should have in place at all times?
Controllables, you know, I mean...
Well, separation of duty is a big one. Having more, the more people look at, you know, each economic transaction, whether it be an invoice, you know, invoice is, you know, if a vendor does invoice, does some work in association, he may give it to the on-site manager. You know, someone approves it, then it goes to, you know, say Ameritech. Somebody there looks at it, and they see what association is for. And then,
well, that's like when you when we first started talking earlier in the hour that, you know, you said little management company versus a large management company.
Exactly.
Little management companies, even though there's some great little management companies out there. And
we all start out little.
Absolutely. You know, that's
and for small associations, they may be perfect. But the bigger your association, the bigger management company you need.
Right, because you got the little management company where you got the property manager, which that's the way Ameritech started out. When I was managing properties, coming back, posting income at night, you know, when we started this thing 20 years ago. But anyways, but you got one person doing a lot, and there's no controllables, right?
Right, it's tough to control. The smaller you are, then, you know, the smaller management is okay. But the bigger you are, you need the bigger management.
That makes sense.
Well, that's interesting. That's interesting, Eddie. Well, did you know that Eddie Page has been providing accounting service for condominiums and homeowners associations for over 18 years, right, Eddie?
19 years.
Get it straight. 19, not 18.
I wrote that a year ago.
That's right.
So if you're looking for a...
That was a good comeback.
So if you're looking for a good and experienced CPA, look no further. Give Eddie Page and don't forget Mary a call today. They're the right CPA firm that's going to make your community stay in compliance. Folks, keep listening. We're going to be right back after this quick commercial break.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Ameritech Community Management is a local management company servicing the Tampa Bay area for over 20 years. We are proud of our company and continue to provide professional and courteous service to our clients. After 20 years, we still manage our very first community association. If you are in need of a top-notch community management team for your property, give us a call today, 727-726-8000. That's 727-726-8000. Or visit our website at ameritechcompanies.com.
Hey, you.
Who, me?
Not you, the hot one.
Hi, what can I do for you?
Aren't you that lady that's on that radio show called the Ameritech Connection?
Why, yes, I am. We're live every Thursday at 5 p.m. on Tan Talk Radio Network. Right, Mike?
That's right, Sharon. Live in a condo or homeowners association? Do you have issues? How about questions? We cover it all and more. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m.
What time again?
That's 5 p.m. every Thursday on Tan Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
Well, that wraps up our show for today. Sharon and I both would like to thank you so much for tuning in. And remember, without you, Ameritech has no connection.
That's so true. And we also appreciate all the feedback and all the listeners that take the time to call in and ask the questions. So don't forget, every Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m., it's the Ameritech Connection on the Tan Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
And if you're looking for a good property management company, look no further. Give us a call at Ameritech. I promise you, you won't be sorry. We would greatly appreciate the opportunity to become your next property management company.
So don't forget, every Thursday between 5 and 6 p.m., it's the Ameritech Connection.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk again next week.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City, Tampa Bay WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.